public service of Humboldt State University. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Well, I'm Mel Boogie, and the show is The Place here on KHSU. Hope you're enjoying this soulful Sunday afternoon. So at the top of the hour, I said that this hour will be dedicated to the life and legacy of Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey lived in the same neighborhood I came from in Los Angeles, and he was actually murdered two blocks from my family home that we still own. So it touched me, and it was near and dear to my heart. Although I didn't know Nipsey, many people I know did have some sort of connection to him. So over the course of the next hour, I'll have guests and a couple of songs just to honor the name of Nipsey Hussle. Let's start with Feeling Myself from 2010, featuring Lloyd.
Sweat on, wasn't hopping out the bed, cause I was sleeping on the floor. Back then, y'all was sleeping on the floor. Used to get it on the block, I had to keep it on the low. My cash grow like Pinocchio's nose. Bulletproof 7 series, yeah, we sat them on foes out of every new. I'm the one the city chose, now can't a mother knock me out my soul. And that's why
I'm feeling myself. I'm so fresh and I can't help it. I'm so fresh and I can't help it. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm so fresh and I can't help it. I'm so fresh and I can't help it.
And when they say me, me, they lie, 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 lie. Yeah, I make the girls go, 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 go. And when I stepped in, they see me, they lie. Y'all, I got the money and respect, y'all. Y'all seen the movie, so you know what comes next, y'all. The women of power, the haters trying to test, y'all. The game ain't changed, just the pieces on the chessboard. Hottest on the west, dollars to invest. Ex-felon, still I got your kids' college on my neck. They said it wouldn't work, cause I'm a rider from the step. But being you pays off, you should try for yourself. That's why
I'm feeling myself. I'm so fresh and I can't help it. So fresh and I can't help it. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm so fresh and I can't help it. I'm so fresh and I can't help it.
And when they say me, me, they lie, 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 lie. Yeah, I make the girls go, 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 go. And when I step in, they say me, they lie, 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 lie. Yeah, I make the girls go. Standing on the couches, lighting up. I'm the type of nigga that's gon' take her if she look once. You the type of nigga she gon' have waiting for 2 months. For your hit first base, I done scored 2 runs. Now ask some questions to clarify your view, homes. First one being what type of shit is you own. It ain't my fault, your girl gotta choose on. Just blame it on the yellow gold rollie with the blue stone.
So you don't need no help, cause you're feeling yourself. Somebody say, say. And if you know you're so cool, and it's all about you, let me hear you say, say,
yes, yes, you're.
Go,
go, go, go.
I'm out of here.
That was Nipsey Hussle from 2010. And joining me in the studio now is Latoya Fields, a Compton, California native, currently a resident of Cutton, California, graduate of Humboldt State University, and someone whose life was touched by Nipsey Hussle. Welcome, Latoya.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me what your connection to Nipsey Hussle was.
So growing up in Compton, if you grow up in the LA area, just being from Compton doesn't mean that you don't move around the city. Lots of connections in music and lots of friends who dabble in the industry. So being blessed to be able to be in studio sessions and come across some really amazing people. Never thought that I'd be in the position of saying, gosh, I wish I had just taken a picture in our exchanges. I met Nipsey sitting in the studio doing homework. I had a friend who was an engineer, and he came in and they had an amazing session. Thursdays were usually days that we had like live band in the studio, and he came in and it was powerful, and he was always so encouraging. And I remember sitting in the corner and doing my homework, and he said, "Little mama, what you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm knocking out my homework, getting ready to finish with my AA." And I don't know if I had found out that I was going to Humboldt just yet. I don't remember the conversation exactly, but I just remember his energy being so positive. Mm-hmm. And he was so approachable that you knew this man was doing something awesome. It didn't matter where he was or who he moved with. His respect level for life was amazing. And that is something that I pulled from that moment. The go grind for yours and the yeah, go get it. I distinctly remember him telling me, come back. Come back. You from Compton, come back. Be the athletic director. If that's what you want to do, come back. Give back to your city. And that's something that still sticks with me, like, wow.
Yeah. So you're from Compton. I'm from the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles. And we're both college-educated African-American women. And we know the necessity of code switching.
Oh, of course.
So right now, we're code switching.
Absolutely.
But if you were sitting in my living room, the conversation would be the same.
But it'd be a little more colorful.
The vernacular would be a little different.
Absolutely.
So verbally, we code switch, but also navigating through the streets of Los Angeles, we know the gang vernacular and the gang language and the gang messages just to survive.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So I had somebody say that people from LA live in a fantasy world, or we don't live in reality. The difference is our reality is different.
Absolutely.
The way in which we were raised, the environment in which we were brought up in, is different. It's not, I got flack on my Facebook page because I said, if you're not from LA and you don't understand why we are so hurt, just sit this one out. Because it hits you different when you know how the gangs move and how, when things like this happen, there was an instant feeling of piercing fear.
Absolutely.
When I heard that Nipsey had been killed, if he had died in a car accident, I wouldn't have felt the same way. But the fact that he was brutally murdered in the fashion that he was immediately stoked fear in my heart for my city as a whole.
Yeah.
Because what happens when things like this take place, the whole entire city is affected.
Yes.
And in classic Nipsey, bullets have no name.
Yes.
Have no name.
As a song I wanted to play today, but I don't think it'll be appropriate.
No, I think we'd be in here crying by the end.
And, you know, it's like I said, two blocks from my house. I spent a lot of time in that shopping center getting
Quick and Split
ice cream. And my son used to get his hair cut when I didn't feel like cutting his hair. in that shopping center. And actually, I want to give love to my son, Matthew, because Matthew was my first call. He called me to say, Mom, Nip died. Nip was murdered, and I didn't believe him. He was a few years younger than Nipsey Hussle, but the same community.
Yeah.
You know, paths crossed, and their paths crossed. And thankfully, Eric Holder Jr.'s path never crossed with my son, but they knew some of the same people. And my son wasn't gang affiliated. It was just the sheer nature of the community in which we lived. So it really, really, really touched home. And my son actually inspired me to do this show we're doing here today. So I thank him.
I'm very grateful that you are doing this.
Yes, yes. Back to the navigation. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood, two-parent households, manicured lawns, two three-car garages, and grew up with folks in the neighborhood who I went to elementary school with, junior high school, and high school with, who had gang affiliations.
Yeah.
And they lived in two-parent households, and they might have been banging by night, but they were in school with me by day. So that's part of that code-switching thing. These are folks that we grew up with,
yeah,
who had gang ties, and they were kind of a safety net for us. You know, I had OGs back in the day tell me, you know what, I got you. Don't worry about your mom in the neighborhood when she goes down the street to the supermarket. She's safe. And that's part of the community, the environment that I grew up in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's crazy to say when you say I got big homies, or I wasn't a gang member. I was very much so affiliated. I was very much so at the functions and the hood functions.
Yeah.
And I was a little sus. And of course, I wasn't allowed to go do the things that the homies were doing. However, I was right there. I was raised in that you back your car in so that you don't have to back out if, yeah, something pops off. You always be aware. It's funny thinking back on how getting dressed before we pre-gamed for a party, we knew if we could run in our heels because there's a 50-50 chance that somebody's going to be outside once the parking lot, once the club clears, and somebody might get into it.
Yeah.
That's our reality. That is how we grew up.
So for me, I might have been called a square because my mama didn't let me go everywhere. I did slip to the east side a couple of times to go to the street races and, you know, see the lowriders. And I would go down to Crenshaw on Sundays when everyone was rolling up and down the Shaw, as we called it. But my interaction with the gang members in my community largely happened on the playground at school and, you know, walking home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's pretty much where it ended, but there was still that connection. There was still that,
yeah,
connection, and we still had interactions. We still had love for each other.
Yeah, it's still a neighborhood. It's still a community. It's laughable to me, like you said, that there are people on what's the page, the neighborhood watch page.
Oh, Nextdoor.
On Nextdoor. Talking about the helicopters and the neighborhood and the people coming out to mourn and how the gentrifiers are upset.
We'll talk about gentrification.
Okay, we'll get there.
And how gentrification plays into this tragedy.
We're all hurting.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to play another song, and then I am going to get a friend from my neighborhood on the line. A journalist and writer, and she's going to report on what the neighborhood is like right now. But first, let's hear from Nipsey Hussle and Motivate.
Cash. I got a show today. hustle and motivate. Choppers a throwaway. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know the way. Cause I took control of things. Ballin' the solo way. And if you pattern my trend, I make you my protege. Crossing that soldier race. Don't know them days. Take you in back of the buildings. Make you expose your rage. Take you across the tracks. Make you explode a face. Now you official now. But you got a soul to save. I just been clicking that note. I'm about to drop in the few. Think if I call it the great, the people gon' call it the truth. I ain't really trip on the credit. I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game. Got my name all in the news. Tripping on all of my moves. Quote me on this, got a lot more to prove. Remember I came in this fresh out the county with nothing to lose.
Y'all know there's another. No. When I count on you. But I don't do it for nothing. No, 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 not at all. You, but my money real, money real. Not you do.
I never left. Stand for some shit that you never read. Passing through stages in life, through the ups and the downs, like it's all just another test. Live by the rules like a fucking breath. I got respect in 100 sets. Too many chains, need another chest. Glad no games if it wasn't chess. Come from that cloth that you couldn't stretch. Come from that circle you couldn't test. Heavily pressured and under stress, even though they sure we was a mess. Honest intent, blame to the left. Judge a young by their dress. Left is no option, what they expect. Only thing we knew for sure is the main set. Living basic, I'm taking risks. What they said, I'm saying this. Don't waste your time, it don't make you rich. It don't mean nothing, so fuck them, let's make a grip. Double up, triple up, make assists. Ballin' so hard, you can pay them. Lead to the lake if they wanna fish. Make sure them around you stick to the script. It should be written in stone. You should come visit my zone. Don't take my word. Double check all of my flows. Ask them how hustle got on. But fuck what you heard. This for who walked down that road. Sold everything but they sold. Straight off the curb. Real rich as you nerds. Address to whom and make it sound.
Don't do this for nothing. No. When I count on you. But I don't do it for nothing. No, no, no. My money real.
Thank you for keeping your dial or your stream tuned right here to KHSU. I'm El Boogie, and the show is The Place. Well, thank you for tuning in. We are honoring the life and legacy of Nipsey Hussle, who was murdered in Los Angeles on March 31st in his own shopping center. Joining me on the phone today is my former neighbor and friend from Los Angeles, Denise, and I slaughtered her name, forgive me, Charing. I do it all the time. See, we go so far back, I know you by another name. So, and I'm not going to call that name out of respect for you, but why don't you introduce yourself?
Condi, for
Tondi. I can do that. Tondi, welcome. So,
thank you for having me, sis. How are you?
I am. I'm hurting, but I'm okay. How are you?
We are all hurting.
Yes.
We are all hurting, Doc. I think hurt is the best word. You know, traumatized, grieving, mourning, but really, really hurt, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The last time I was in my neighborhood was back in July of 2018, last year. I didn't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize it at all. I moved on the street in March of 1969 after redlining covenants were lifted that prevented African Americans from buying property west of Crenshaw. Unless you were light and looked Creole, mm-hmm. and you could move on up the hill a little bit. So mm-hmm. you and I
most
didn't.
Most of us came over there at that same time.
Yes. Yeah, so what time, when did your parents buy the home that you're in?
1966.
Okay, so you slipped in before I did.
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage that?
Following my parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We also had an uncle who moved down the street from us, so just following family.
That would be the stories, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And if you'd like to expound on exactly who the story family is, because I think that's some significance of what comes out of our community.
I hadn't planned on it, but
I'm proud of my neighborhood.
Most black folk, like most black folk, you know, family moved here from Arkansas. A lot of times when we talk about California and the westward migration, people talk about Louisiana and Texas. They don't talk about Arkansas as much, but Arkansas definitely represented part of that westward migration. And my grandparents were the grandparents of 11 children in total, and at least four of those children moved to Los Angeles after the war, after World War II, in search of better opportunities, and they settled in the L.A. area, not the Bay Area, but the L.A. area. And one of our cousins, one of the family members, would probably be known to your audience as a film director by the name of Tim Story.
Right.
Who grossed several million dollars in Hollywood blockbuster films. Another story is Dexter Story, who's a musician. Went to UC Berkeley and has been doing a lot of things in the independent music circuit.
What about the other twin? That's significant to me because I love basketball.
Well, that's Tim's twin sister, Tammy, who played at USC, very good friends with Lisa Leslie.
Right.
L.A. Sparks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tammy didn't go pro, though.
You know, she went pro the family route.
So, pro-family.
Yeah, because she married a good friend in Jeffrey Wilkins. So she, yeah, so that's a good thing. But let's talk about you touched upon when we arrived to Los Angeles. It was post-war or wartime. That's the same time my parents moved to Los Angeles, and we were sequestered to the east side at that time because that's where we had to live. And
pretty much around the Central Avenue area, which is why it became known as South Central Los Angeles.
Right.
Most black people were sequestered along that Central Avenue corridor.
Right.
And once the housing covenants were struck down, you know, these were covenants where whites would, you know, sell a house, and included in the deed, they would have to swear that they would never, ever sell to black people, to African Americans.
Right.
And, you know, that's how they conducted business for years.
Right.
And that case was eventually taken to the Supreme Court. Lauren Miller, a Los Angeles attorney, was the lead on the case. And he was found to have been correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so those covenants started coming down, and this is how black people started moving west of Central Avenue, up to Western Avenue, to Arlington, Van Ness, and so on and so forth, up all the way up to Crenshaw Boulevard and beyond. We congregate in the Leimert Park area, which is a predominantly, at the time was a predominantly white area. You know, that's the area where, excuse my voice, the Black Dahlia was murdered, a famous murder case
right.
in the 1940s took place.
On Santa Barbara, I think, was the street
Norton.
Name. Oh, Norton, okay.
Norton.
But it was close to what is now known as Martin Luther King Boulevard. But at that time, it was Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then something happened in 1965. What was that?
Well, 65, just around the time when the covenants were coming down and people were attempting to test them and see if they could actually move in. 65 was a culmination of a lot of things
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles around the issue of police brutality.
Absolutely.
And people like Kathleen Cleaver and others talk about the fact that the police force in Los Angeles, a predominantly white police force, they would recruit from the South. They would recruit from the South. So they would get the cream of the racist crop of police officers to police the Black community here in Los Angeles. So, of course, it was brutal. And in the afternoon of August 11th, 1965, Marquette Fry and his family were accosted by the police out in Watts. And the community just decided, this is it. We're not having any more.
Right.
Yeah.
And the uprising occurred, and white flight soon followed.
My flight took off.
Yep, and that was the birth of the San Fernando Valley and Orange County as we know it today, right?
The Orange Curtain.
and I have a friend, LaToya Fields, in the studio with me. I'm turning on her mic because you're learning a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, this is news to me. I mean, things that we... like I told you yesterday, my generation is under... I'm Nipsey's generation. I'm right there. I'm 34. He was 33. And so these are things that we don't get told unless you get around people who know these things. And it's interesting to see your perspective and how you were raised and what it was like then and what it was like for me growing up and the difference in the white flight and the gentrification that we're experiencing now. It's totally different.
Right, right.
The white return.
Yeah.
Yes. And returning and not acclimating to the neighborhood that already exists. So tell me about what the neighborhood looks like right now then.
We're undergoing metro rail construction. And there are a few studies that I have not, unfortunately, I read the studies. I cannot give you the names. I've only glanced over them. But one of the things that that struck me is how transportation projects, it is said, hasten the demise of stable, historically Black communities. They usher
wow.
in gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the area known as Sugar Hill, those wonderful large mansions and homes around Arlington, Adams, 29th Street, 8th Street, 5th Street.
Yes.
What known in the West Adams neighborhood. 10 Freeway came through and decimated that Black community.
Right.
You know, that was one of those all-white communities. And white folks got a heads up and actually started selling to Black people long before the covenants were removed by courts.
Wow.
And so this was in the late 40s, early 50s. And the 10 Freeway came through by 59 or 60 while the covenants were still in effect. Even though this was a high-class Black area where many Black women used to live and decimated that community.
Butterfly McQueen, I believe, lived in that community. Am I right?
It may have been Hattie McDaniel. I was trying
Thank
to
you.
Think of the name.
Thank
I think
you.
It was Hattie McDaniel.
Wasn't that the area that the artist that passed away, that got shot? Marvin Gaye's house over there.
Marvin Gaye.
I think his family was over in that area.
Yes. You are right.
That was Hattie McDaniel. I think Paul R. Williams, if he didn't live over there, he designed some of the homes. He designed the
Western Southern
Golden State Insurance Building, which is on the corner of Adams and West.
Yes.
Beautiful building.
One of my favorite
Eddie
buildings.
Rochester Anderson, who worked with Jack Benny, had a mansion in that area. So lots of black Hollywood elites who would open their homes not only for parties but for meeting spaces.
Right.
Because, again, this was before the covenants took place. So there would be some rumblings in the neighborhood about y'all got to get out. And folks would organize like, we're not going anywhere. These are our homes.
Right.
So, but my point was that there are those who believe that transportation projects decimate communities. Just so what we have going on now along the Crenshaw corridor, parking spaces have been reduced.
In the residential community.
Mm-hmm. Right. It spills over into the residential.
Yeah, they're calling it the new L.A.
Yes.
Like we ain't been there this whole entire time. It's been our L.A.
Right. So now foot traffic has been disrupted for the mom-and-pop businesses in the areas. You know, there's nowhere to park. There's no place for you to just be out walking as a pedestrian and see something and be interested in it. You're losing your customers.
Right.
You know, the congestion is ridiculous. These are the ways that people get tired and say, you know what, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And the way that
the housing shortage in the state of California.
Yeah, the way that the road looks, I was home 2 weeks ago. And the way that the road looks, it's crazy to think that, like, you can't cross the street at Hyde Park. There's it stops right there, and then you have to go all the way down to Slauson to get on the other side of the chain tracks. And, I mean, because I drive, it never even occurred to me. How does that happen for the moms and the pops and the moms and the grandmas who have to walk to where they need to get to? If you have to go to the laundromat on the other side of Crenshaw right now, it's a trek.
Yeah. So
it's madness is what it is.
So for the
very inconvenient.
Yes. So for the sake of time, I want to get to a couple of other callers. Let's connect all of this to Nipsey Hussle and where his businesses were.
He's right there. It was Crenshaw and Slauson. He's right there. That corner, if you pull up on Crenshaw and Slauson while the red light is there, you can get CDs, incense, shirts, Laker gear. You could get just about anything on that corner.
And Chinese food and
fried chicken.
Fried chicken and Chinese food from Louisiana Fried Chicken.
Yes. And then right there.
Yeah, and then go around the corner and get your shoes shined at Chambers. And that Chambers has been around. I'm 50, and I've only known Chambers.
There's any more.
Yes.
I'm not sure where they are.
I'm sorry?
I'm not sure what Chambers is.
I just.
Oh, my granddaddy was a frequent of Chambers.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
Yeah. So, you know, the neighborhood has been disrupted, but one thing that Nipsey always said is all money in, no money out.
Yeah.
And I hope this will be the impetus to motivate, hustle and motivate. I'll say hustle and motivate our people to stay in our community and not be pushed out.
Yeah.
I hope it does too, but I think we have to be honest. Nipsey was a very special individual.
Absolutely.
You could tell he had love for his community.
Yes.
And it's ironic, but one of the reasons, I mean, he Nipsey didn't shy from his past. He was a gang member.
Right.
You know, gangs are about neighborhood and territory.
Right.
He repped his area.
Hard.
He loved this community.
But he did it
with
respect.
Grandmama lived in one area. Mama lived, on another corner. He repped his whole area. He loved this community.
Absolutely.
And until we can find some people who love our community the way that Nipsey did, you know, it's going to be a, showing my age, a tough road to hoe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the message needs to be, if grandma owns a home and grandma passes, y'all need to pay them property taxes. Keep grandma's home. Keep those houses. Yeah. Grandma worked hard for that home.
Use it as a way to create wealth.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not going to live there. Rent it out.
Rent it out.
You don't want to be bothered with it. Find a management company that will rent it out for you.
But hey, my footprint is embedded in the concrete in my driveway on Bryanhurst and 54th Street in Los Angeles. It ain't going nowhere.
Right?
It ain't going nowhere.
Right.
My family, I mean, I was 3 months old when we moved into our home, and my mother is the only person I know peddling Avon. Peddling Avon on welfare, who bought a home and paid for it without a second mortgage or taking out any loans. And I remember going to Wilshire and Crenshaw to the title company on the bus with my mother every month as a child. And I didn't understand her tearing a ticket out of that book. I didn't know what she was doing until the last day when I was in high school, when she took her last payment to pay off our house.
You know, what's the sister's name? I'm sorry. In the studio with
LaToya.
Hey, LaToya, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
You know, there's so much that we don't tell our families, that we don't tell our youngsters until, you know, something happens.
Until it's too late.
You overhear us talking, right? But we need to sit down with our families. How is it that Mama and Big Mama bought and paid off houses?
Because Big Mama and them had a village.
Well,
They had the village. But we don't have a village no more.
But my house was probably $40,000, and it's probably close to $700 or $800 in a dilapidated state now.
But we had rent parties.
That.
Y'all got together. Y'all generation got together, and y'all made sure that everybody was okay.
Yeah.
And that's how Nipsey was raised. So when it came to his, yes, there are gangs, but understand that within these gangs, the love and the camaraderie and the having the support, that's what comes from that.
Absolutely.
And when you are raised in that, when if you call me and you say, hey, I'm short on my bills right now, it wasn't even a thought to say, you going to bring the ribs and you going to bring the this and so-so going to play the music and everybody going to put $5 in this bottle. And by the end of the night, you had your money to make sure you had your house.
Right.
If you didn't have money to feed your kids, the neighbors made enough food and everybody ate. We all raised each other back then.
Right.
It's not like that now.
Right.
And Nipsey was bringing that back. Nipsey was the thing that made all of my generation feel like we could do this again.
Right.
And Nipsey was at the store to hook up a friend who had just gotten out of prison with some fresh clothes so he could go see his family.
Right.
Nipsey wasn't charging nobody.
Right.
No, he made his money, but he was okay. We have to be okay with doing things from our heart. Everybody is looking for what they can do and what they can get out of it, as opposed to doing things to better the rest of the community.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tandy, we're going to end it right there. I'm going to play Dedication featuring Kendrick Lamar. But, hey, hold our hood down for me, all right?
Yeah. I'm trying, sis. I need some help. Come back.
Yeah, we're going to come visit.
You know what, sis? I got work to do here. I got a lot of work to do here. So
when you get tired of working and fighting up there, you come on home.
Don't you fret, Danny. I'll be on my way. Don't you fret.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me on the air, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, sis. Y'all take care.
All right, you too. Here's Dedication featuring Kendrick Lamar.
It's a real celebration. It's a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the great pavement. Young black trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platforms to explain it. He frustrated so he get faded. But deep down inside he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication.
Hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting. Told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. It's dedication.
Thinking out the box, boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come, spin around the block. They blurped on me, said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking, mama playing spades, catching papers. Grandma said I'd get some Jordans for my grades, that's my baby. When she died, my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setback for major comeback, that's my favorite. My L said you do a song with Nip. K-Dot, he a better. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. About flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4, y'all living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my it's bigger than deuces and foes, my since elementary, be close, my you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Ams. You met the premier, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, Pac watching the way we grew from dedication. Shake, shake,
shake. If it ain't congratulating, it look like hate. If it ain't congratulating, it look like what Nip said.
Hold up.
La, this ain't entertainment. It's four on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious.
So I'm going to cut this song short so I can talk to my brother from my neighborhood. That was Dedication by Nipsey Hussle from his 2018 Victory Lap featuring Kendrick Lamar. On the phone with me today is Marlon Washington, someone I've known since, 54th Street Elementary School days and Webster Junior High School days and Palisades High School days. Marlon, thank you for joining me today.
Anytime.
So why don't you start by telling the listeners your connection to Nipsey Hussle?
Well, like I said, I grew up in the neighborhood. I was born and raised there. I was born in 1967, so I've been a part of that neighborhood since 68. I met Nipsey probably close to maybe about 13, 14 years ago, maybe. I caught him probably at the age of 17 and just caught him around a couple of my younger homeboys and passing his tapes out and doing his thing at the Rouse and any local mart around there, Louisiana Chicken and stuff like that. And we just, we just clicked as a young homie. We saw how motivated and
the drive.
Yeah, we feel like, real at a young age. And the thing about it is, me being 52 and him 33, we've never really had a young person to motivate and inspire older people like he did and younger people. So, it was a tragic loss for us in the neighborhood, in California, Los Angeles, all over the world.
I'll be real with you. There's only one other death in the neighborhood that affected me in the way, and I didn't know Nipsey, but there is only one other death in the neighborhood that affected me in the same way, and that is Earl Wilson Jr.
Correct. Yeah, and like you said, that was he was like a brother. Earl was, but I have to totally agree. It was him and a couple of other people in that neighborhood, especially in the early 80s, that really affected me. But as far as just somebody that we look to positively as up-and-coming role model for these young kids, we really thought he was going to be the man and turn around and flip whatever he could in the neighborhood, which he was in the progress of doing.
Right.
By him buying his businesses and things like that.
Right. So I want to get Skip Townsend on the line in a minute. But first, tell me, what does that mean for the neighborhood and the OGs and the little homies right now?
I mean, it's a loss. I mean, it's a big loss, but we got a couple of people that's stepping up, you know, that's doing their thing. One of my good friends, Eugene Henley, mm-hmm. he's made a, you know, a positive mark in the neighborhood already, you know, before this tragic event happened. But he's made a positive with the youngsters. And when I mean youngsters, he has his own, he's sponsoring football teams, you know, the little Pop Warner football teams, and he's helping these parents that can't afford to let their kids play sports. So he's donating stuff like that. But another thing, it's going to be hard, but his brother, which is Sam.
Black Sam.
His brother Sam, Black Sam. He's real business-minded, and I have to give him a lot of credit, as Nipsey did.
Absolutely.
He was the brains of that operation. You know, Nipsey had the voice and really put it out there, but the brains of the operation was Black Sam, you know what I mean? So as a neighborhood, as a family, and we're going to stick by him, and whatever he needs us to do, we're going to be there to do it, you know, to keep pushing this legacy on.
Yeah. Well, Marlon, I just want to say thank you, and I also want to offer my condolences. Because the neighborhood took a massive loss.
Massive, right. And I appreciate you letting me be a part of your platform, and you know, just you know, putting my little homie out there, you know. And I know, like I said, it's been all over the news, and this is a sad moment, but then, you know, we have his voice to live on and be able to play his music. And I want y'all to just play his music, download it. The people who haven't heard, download everything, man, and just listen. And listen how he came from his first mixtape to where he is, Victory Lap, where he is now. And just listen to him, man, because he told you what he was going to do, and he did it.
Absolutely. And you know what? I just want you to grab those little homies, to encourage them to hustle and motivate.
And we will. We will. We will. I mean, it's like I said the other day, it started off with a little kind of little gang troops, which is good, you know, for the neighborhood. That's one good thing. So we're going to be all right.
And that's why I'm calling Skip Townsend next. So, Marlon, thank you. And again, my condolences. And like I told the previous caller, hold down the hood for me, all right?
I will.
All right.
All right. Many blessings. Love you.
Love you, too. Stay safe, man.
All right.
Coming up after a really, really, really short break, we are going to hear from Skip Townsend, activist and person who helped broker the gang truce that's going on right now. Stay tuned. So if you're just tuning in, this is the place here on KHSU. I'm El Boogie. Joining me on the phone currently is Skip Townsend. He's the co-founder and executive director of Second Call. It's a gang intervention nonprofit and a local community activist who I've seen quite a bit on social media in the last week. Skip, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So we only have about 5 minutes to chat. But tell me what happens now. How do we move on from this senseless murder that occurred with the death of Nipsey Hussle?
What I believe we do now is we ride the wave. So there are more conversations about peace, not just in Los Angeles, but all over the country. It's more conversations about guys coming together than it is for those few and in-between guys that want to shoot at each other. So I believe that we ride the wave of peace. And, of course, it's not 100% as it is right now. And the goal would be to have 100% of peace and zero homicides. Of course, there's always situations that occur, and they're isolated situations. But if we could ride out this wave of peace, all the aggressive and people who aren't with it, they start to stand out. And either they'll come along to get along, or they'll be by themselves. Mm. So I think that's what we do now is We keep riding the wave. And, you know, there's meetings going on today. There's a meeting in Compton. Yesterday was a meeting in Long Beach, California. So there are meetings going on all throughout L.A. County. And, you know, let's just pray that this continues, because the meeting is for peace. How do we bring peace?
Absolutely. So were you involved in the first gang truce that I recall after the Rodney King verdicts came down and there was an uprising in Los Angeles in 1992? Were you a part of that?
So let me be honest and say no, and that was not even in 92. Yes, they came to the forefront in 92, but they actually began in 91, and it's a guy named Bull and Dwayne Holmes, actually, you know, and I really hate that so many people take credit for it, and Dwayne Holmes' cousin was killed, Henry Pico, way before the Rodney King verdict. So they started going around and organizing, and it took to that day for them to say, hey, this is our opportunity to make it known, and it just, you know, the word spread throughout the country. But Dwayne Holmes, his cousin was killed in 91, and also Latasha Harlins, the young girl, was killed over a bottle of orange juice in Los Angeles in 91. And those are the things that really sparked it. And the last thing that happened was the Rodney King verdict. And that right there, just took it to a whole nother level with the riots or the uprising. But that's when it came to the forefront that, hey, these guys have been organizing. Even for the Nipsey Hussle thing, one of Nipsey Hussle's good friends, we call him Little AD, this was his brainchild, him and a girl named Tanya. It was their brainchild to put this together. So there's many people who are taking credit for what happened on Friday, but there were several meetings that we had, and they called me, and I was able to give them space and invite other people. But it's AD and Tanya. It's their brainchild that really put this together. So, you know, so many people have gone public, and, you know, so many people made phone calls, and they helped. But I want people to know that Little AD and Tanya put this together, just like Dwayne Holmes and a guy named Bull put the 1992 peace treaty together.
Oh. So Skip, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I just want to ask you, between 91 and 2019, do you think the momentum has shifted so that this truce will have a bigger impact than it did in 91?
I hope so, and I pray so. I'm in a different place now in my life, and I see that the same things are happening now that happened then, that certain people will stand up and others are afraid to. Right. So they're in the back throwing rocks and stabbing the people who are walking up front, that, you know, they're just not comfortable because they don't know what peace is. And most of them weren't around for the 92 peace treaty. So they don't know. They've never experienced peace. So it actually scares them. There's more people afraid of peace because now they have to let their guards down. Now they become vulnerable. And I don't believe that someone who has a reputation of being a tough guy can now be vulnerable and say he has feelings. So it's just not. It's not an easy task. It's like pushing a rock up a hill. It's a heavy boulder to push, but I believe we have to push it.
Right. And, you know, you're one of the right men to do it. And I thank you. I thank you, Skip, for your drive to seek peace in our community.
Yes, I'm just being obedient to God. It's God's mission, and I stopped fighting what God wanted me to do, and I turned around and said, okay, I will.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful to be able to hand the baton to the new generation. I'm like the bridge between 92 and 2019.
Right.
So I'm just grateful to be in this position.
Thank you. And, you know, we're going to end the show with a song by Tupac and Nas, and that's Thug's Mansion. You think Nipsey Hussle is chilling in Thug's Mansion with Tupac right now?
I think Nipsey Hussle has to be happy that his legacy has created something greater than himself.
Absolutely. And we're going to leave it right there. Thank you so much for joining me, Skip, and hope to talk to you again on the air in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tired of getting shot at. Tired of getting chased by the police and arrested. Need a spot where we can kick it. A spot where we belong. That's just for us. Ain't gotta get all dressed up and be Hollywood. Know what I mean? Where the go when we die? Ain't no heaven for a thug. That's why we go to Thug Mansion.
That's the only place where thugs getting free, and you gotta be a G. At Thug Mansion. A place to spend my quiet nights. Time to unwind, so much pressure in this life.
This is Diverse Public Radio from Humboldt State University, KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Thanks to all of my guests who called in today, and let's have peace. Thanks for tuning in.
Dogs ain't have a choice but to roll on. We found a finally spot to kick it, where we could drink liquor and know a bicker's over tricky. A spot where we could smoke in peace, and even though we G's, we still visualize places that we could roll in peace. And in my mind's eye, I see this place, the players going past. I got a spot for us all, so we can ball at Thug's Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy. Little Hennessy, laid back and cool. Every hour, cause it's all good. Leave all the stress from the world outside. Every wrong done will be alright. Nothing but peace, love, and street passion.
Well, I survive all the fights in the darkness, trouble sparks. They tell me home is where the heart is, dear departed. I shed tattoo tears and couldn't sleep good for multiple years. Witness peers cast gunshots, nobody cares. Seen the politicians' banners, they'd rather see us locked in chains. Please explain why they can't stand us. Is there a way for me to change? Or am I just a victim of things I did to maintain? I need a place to rest my head with the little bit of homeboys that remain. Cause all the rest there is their spot for us to grow. If you find it, I'll be right behind you. Show me and I'll go. How can I be peaceful?